Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. We never take it for granted. We believe every time we gather, there is a purpose for our gathering, and you gather us together as your people. Lord, we pray that today you will have your way in our midst. And we also ask, Lord God, anoint your word as we hear your word. It's the most important word we'll hear any day of our lives, the word of God. And I pray that you will transform us by the power of your word today, teaching us, Lord God, to honor Jesus, the Savior King. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. We're beginning a new series, and it's going to be called The Savior King. Of course, our theme this year is the kingdom of God first. And we understood very clearly over the last number of weeks that Jesus is the king in the kingdom of God. And he has come, he came many years ago and continues today to establish his kingdom through his body, the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is at work building his church and he is the king in the kingdom of God. But he not only came to establish his kingdom, Jesus came as a king with a mission. And the mission of Jesus was to save us from our sin. And Easter becomes so critical. It is the most significant event when it comes to our faith as believers in the Lord Jesus. It is at Easter that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And with that single act, Jesus proved that he has the power and the authority to forgive us of our sin. He is the only one who can pull us out of darkness and bring us to the kingdom of the marvelous light of our Heavenly Father. Buddha claimed many things. Muhammad claimed many things. Owobu Shobozi in Uganda has claimed many things. But there is only one who claimed he died and he rose again. He's alive and well, and his name is Jesus. He is the only one who can save us. We're going to journey through that over the next number of weeks and understand Jesus, the Savior King. And today we want to start at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20, if you can turn there in your Bibles. We'll be going through scripture and looking at the events leading up to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a lot that God wants to teach us. And today we'll be looking at Jesus, the King that is revealed. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20, captures an important conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. And I believe that God has something for you today. In verse 13, the Bible tells us when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" "Yes, I know what the people say, but who do you say I am?" And I sense in a really strong way today, whether you're watching online or whether you're present in this room right now, Jesus is asking you, beyond the popular opinion of the day, beyond what historians have said, beyond what politicians are saying, beyond what you learned at university, beyond what you learned at school, who do you say I am? It is a question for you, not for the masses. Who do you say I am? Jesus is asking. And at that time when he asked, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is a significant conversation. They were in Caesarea Philippi, which was a city in the Roman territory. It was ruled by Philip, the son of Herod the Great, at the time Jesus passed through. In that place, they worshipped a Roman god called Pan. Part of him was a goat, and part of him was a man. He played a flute, and they worshipped him. He was an idol. In that place, a lot of evil things happened. Children were sacrificed to gods. It was a very evil place. But in that evil place, Jesus has a significant conversation with his disciples. Leading up to the question, he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" Now, this is after he's had the responses of his disciples. Oh, some say Elijah, one of the prophets, Jeremiah. They were beating around the bush with the answers that the people in the city had. But he approached them and he says, "Well, who do you say I am?" Peter's answer, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Jesus then replied saying, "Blessed are you, Peter. For this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood." This has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that the understanding, the recognition that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, that recognition comes by divine revelation. No amount of Christian religious education in your school can bring you to that realization. For you to know Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, it comes only and only by divine revelation. In other words, it is a result of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. We can preach it from this pulpit. You can hear it on the radio. You can watch many preachers. But for you to come to the place where you confess, where you declare, where you acknowledge, where you understand, and where you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, that comes only by divine revelation. And it is a question every single one of us needs to answer in this place. Listen, we know what the teachers teach. We know what the political leaders say. We know what religious leaders say. But who do you say Jesus is? You can't dodge that question, my friend. It is a question every single one of us has to answer. Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." In that moment, Jesus says, "That has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood. It has been revealed to you by my heavenly Father." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said to them, "You know that when you were pagans, before you believed in Jesus, you were led off after speechless idols. However, you were led off, whether by impulse or habit, you were led off to worship speechless idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the power and influence of the Spirit of God can say, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is my Lord,' except by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit." It is only the Holy Spirit that will bring you to the recognition that Jesus is the Messiah. No amount of research, only Holy Spirit at work in your life. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us. In fact, He comes to convince us that we are sinners, that we are far from God. But that there is a Messiah, and His name is Jesus. And that leads me to my first point. How is Jesus Christ revealed in this portion of Scripture? Number one, Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. Peter said, "You are the Messiah." By the way, the other word for Messiah is Christ. Messiah is in Hebrew. Christ is in Greek. It is a term. By the way, don't think Christ is the son name of Jesus. Some might think his parents were Mary and Joseph Christ, and they gave birth to Jesus Christ. Christ is a title that is weighty. It is a title that refers to the anointed one, the one that is set apart as the Savior. The anointed one, the one who has been empowered, the one that has been chosen, the one that has been set apart, the special one, the unique one, that is the Savior. Jesus was sent by God to save us from our sins. It is clear in Genesis chapter 3 that when Eve and Adam gave into the lies of Satan and disobeyed God, sin came into the world, and forever the relationship between God and man was broken. And there was a system in place by which man appeased God. They would offer a sacrifice, and God would accept that sacrifice for their sin, and for 1 year their sins would be overlooked. And then after another year, they would have to offer another sacrifice. But we know that that system was imperfect because it never truly dealt with the issue of sin. And so what the world needed was not another way of sacrifice that was higher. The world needed a Savior. And so God sent Jesus, who came, who lived a perfect, sinless life, who fulfilled all of God's righteous requirements, but that, by the way, you and I can never fulfill. We constantly fail. But Jesus came and fulfilled every righteous requirement for life. And we all know sin must be punished. And the punishment for our sin was laid on the one who was perfect, and his name was Jesus. In the old system, they had to bring an animal that was perfect, without defect. Jesus was perfect. And Jesus came. He laid down his life. We know very well on Good Friday, he died on the cross. Satisfied all of God's requirements. He took the punishment for your sin. He took the punishment for my sin. And after 3 days, we know on Easter Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. And it signified that that sacrifice had been accepted. Jesus saves us from our sin. No amount of sacrifice that you ever give will ever save you. By the way, it doesn't matter whether you bring money, it will not save you. Your going to church is good, but it will not save you. Do we need to come to church? Absolutely. Do we need to give an offering, church? Absolutely. But you and I are not good enough to save ourselves. There is only one who is good that can save us, and his name is Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 verse 17 tells us God need not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus was the anointed one that would save us from our sins. That is why the angel who spoke to Joseph when Jesus was going to be born said, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will do what? Save his people from their sins." Jesus said about himself in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." In other words, I'm the Messiah, the one you've been looking forward to. I am he, says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly. Jesus is saying, I am here. And I'm here to deal with a sin issue that none of you can deal with. Jesus came to establish a kingdom, not one with swords and with horsemen, but he came to establish a spiritual kingdom, first and foremost, by dealing with our sin issue. And when you come to the place where, like Peter, you recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, then the Bible says you are born again. You believe it in your heart. And you confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says in that moment you are saved from your sin. The old is gone. The new has come. You become part of the family of God. You become part of the kingdom of God. The Messiah. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to be baptized. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Messiah. And that was a powerful proclamation by Peter. You are the Messiah. Now you got to understand that this was a result of Holy Spirit working in the heart of Peter. Peter one day first encounters Jesus. Jesus comes to call him to be a disciple. He's fishing. He hasn't caught any fish. Jesus says, don't worry, listen to me. Cast your net again. They cast it. They catch so much fish. Peter says, Jesus, go away from me. I'm a sinner. This is the same Peter, by the way, who was on the mountain when Jesus experienced the transfiguration. And his clothes, and he began to glow because Moses and Elijah visited him and they came to strengthen Jesus because he was about to lay down his life for the world. And they came to encourage him. And Peter, James, and John watched what was going on. It is this same Peter who was in the boat with Jesus when the storm was about to kill them. And Jesus got up from his sleep and he commanded the storm to cease and it stopped. And he wondered and he said, who is this man who speaks to the storm and it stops? He came to the conclusion and Jesus asked him, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Messiah. Holy Spirit had been working in his heart all the way. He had been wondering, it is this same Peter who one day Jesus calls out on the water and he walked on the water. And he came to the conclusion, you're not just an ordinary teacher. In fact, you're not one of the prophets that has come back in another body. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Holy Spirit had worked in his heart. Some of you have been rejecting Jesus for too long. Pretending that you can sort your life on your own. You just think that your goodness will get you to heaven. You think that the money can get you to heaven. Or say, Pastor Brian, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do any of that stuff. Well, thank you. You're going to live a very long and healthy life. But you're going to go to hell. Unless today you allow Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your heart to see Jesus revealed as the Messiah, the only one that can save you from your sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin must be punished. But Jesus took that punishment in your place. All you have to do today is put your faith in Jesus. Allow him to save you from your sin. Story is told of a gentleman about 2 years ago. Was really ill and was going to die. He said, please bury me with 200 million shillings. The family wondered, why 200 million shillings? I know what some of you are thinking. Those guys are fools. But he asked, bury me with 200 million shillings. His plan was to get to heaven and to buy his salvation. He was going to say, God, I'm here. 200 million shillings. It's a good bargain. Money, salvation. So they buried him. A couple of weeks later, the family began to think, they thought, how can we bury that man with 200 million shillings? Do you know what 200 million shillings can accomplish? So they dug up the grave. And they got the 200 million shillings. One of our friends joked, he said, I think they buried him with a check. Because a check cannot help you in heaven. You can't buy your salvation. The only way we are saved is when we recognize Jesus Christ as Messiah. We put our faith in him and all, the Bible says, all of our sins shall be forgiven. Give your heart to Jesus. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. Give your heart to him just the way you are. Let him wash away your sins. He will never remember them. He'll never count them against you. In fact, he will fill you with his Holy Spirit and he'll begin to teach you how to live for him one day at a time. And he will transform your life. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 14 and friends, I've never regretted a day of it. And for the last 21 years, I've walked with the Lord. I can tell you it is the most important decision I ever made. Will you give your heart to Jesus today? The second way that Jesus is revealed is that he is the Son of God. The Son of the living God is very clear in verse 16. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That title, Son of God, refers to who Jesus truly was. And by the way, it doesn't mean that he was a biological son or an adopted son, and not even a created son. He was there before creation, by the way. Because you see, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us, God said, let us make man. Let us. Who was us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says, anything that has been made was made by him. Through him. For him. Anything that has been made that was made by Jesus. He was there. He is not created. He is God. Jesus is revealed in this one statement as God, the Son of God, who came from God. He wasn't created. He was divine. In fact, his birth was miraculous. He wasn't conceived because Joseph and Mary came together. No, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit who deposited in the womb of Mary. She was a virgin. And the Bible says, in fact, Joseph and Mary did not come together at any point until after Jesus was born. Miraculous. He is God himself. And the religious leaders of the day struggled. In fact, they thought he was blasphemous. At one point he said, you know what, before Abraham was, I am. And he used the name of God and they nearly stoned him to death. In fact, on one occasion they were going to throw him over a cliff. They thought, this is a crazy man. He does not honor the Lord. How can he call himself God? On one occasion he forgave sins and they asked him, what power do you have to do that? But they missed it. They had longed for Messiah. And he had come from God. In fact, God himself in the flesh walked among them. But they missed it. But Peter caught it. Said, listen, you're not just a good teacher. You are the Son of the living God. First Timothy 3:16. Paul is singing a hymn. And he affirms both the divinity, the divine nature of Jesus, but he also affirms the human nature of Jesus, God in the flesh. He sings, God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Jesus, God himself in the flesh. In John chapter 14 verse 9 and in John chapter 10 verse 30, Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Paul said about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. The Son, Jesus, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. In other words, he's not created. He is the creator that sustains everything. And friends, knowing Jesus as God is fundamentally important. You've got to come to the place where you recognize Jesus was not just a good teacher. Jesus was not just a great leader. Jesus is not just a good person who taught great virtues of life. No, Jesus is God. Wow. Jesus said, "No one can take my life from me. I lay it down by myself, and I will pick it up by myself." And guess what? After 3 days, he rose from the dead, demonstrating his true nature, God. We see this clearly in Philippians chapter 2. That he was in the same, very same nature, God. Very same nature, God. But he didn't boast about his God nature. Instead, he was humble. What did he do? He laid down his life. He died on a Roman cross. He allowed to be spat on, to be battered, to be bruised, and to be murdered. He allowed it all. And he died. But after 3 days, he came back from the dead. The Bible says now, he has been given a name that is above every other name. And at the mention of his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. He is God himself. Peter came to that realization. You're not just a man. You're more than a man. You are God. Friends, it's only Jesus who can save you from your sin. It is only Jesus who can give you a brand new life. Don't live in sin. Turn your back on sin. Turn to Jesus. Allow him to forgive you today. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. Today, give your heart to Jesus. But he's also the Son of God. He deserves your worship. He deserves your praise. Surrender your life to him. Make him the king of your life, your savior king, who saves you and who rules your life, who sets your life back on the right course that he gave it to you for, and who begins to lead you daily by his Holy Spirit into that life. And Jesus, when Peter had said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus then says to Peter, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And then Jesus makes this powerful declaration. He says, and upon that confession, upon that confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that confession, that is the confession upon which Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the realization that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, when you confess it, immediately you become part of the family of God. You are added to the number of the church, and the church begins to grow. Friends, we are living in great days. No other point in history do we see more people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ than in the day we are living. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not weak. It is growing and it is strong. It is a movement of God's people that he's mobilizing from every corner of the world, through whom he is working and bringing to the realization that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that the prophets spoke about. And whoever puts their faith in him is added to the number daily. He's building his church. And because he's building his church, it doesn't matter what Satan will do. It doesn't matter what demon will do. He cannot stop the preaching of the gospel. You can kick the Bible out of a country, but you cannot stop people from coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can kick out the Bible and Jesus will show up in a dream and in a vision to people. We hear the stories happening in the Middle East of people waking up from a dream and they say, I saw the man. I saw the man. He appeared to me. You cannot stop the preaching of God's word. Satan will not stop it. The gates of hell will not prevail. As God's people, let us tell people about Jesus. Let's not be shy. Let's not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to the salvation of all who believe. Friends, let's tell our families about Jesus. Let's tell our workmates about Jesus. When we leave this place today, I encourage you, tell people about Jesus. When you use that border and he brings you to the place where you want to get, delay that payment. And use those few opportunities as you're counting that money to say, by the way, do you know the Lord? He's going to wait for his payment. Not so. Tell him about Jesus while he waits. Let's tell everyone about Jesus. Let's say, man, I found the Messiah. I found the Son of the living God who has forgiven me of my sin. Listen, when they reject you, when they reject the gospel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. But it's okay. You preach the gospel. Jesus, Matthew 28 said, go into all the world and preach the good news. And he made a promise. I will be with you to the very end of the age. You can be guaranteed that whenever you're preaching the gospel, Jesus is with you. You have the backing of heaven with you. And then he concludes with these words. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, he's giving us authority to preach the gospel. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's giving us spiritual authority to preach the gospel. We don't bind spirits and set people free so that people can come to us or people can come to you. No, so that they can come to Jesus Christ. And so you have a family member who is sick in their body. Before you take them to the hospital, lay your hands on them. Say, Father, I bind this cancer in the name of Jesus. Why? When they receive their healing, they turn to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Preach the gospel. Bind Satan and all his evil powers. Destroy the work of Satan and allow people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. He did it for Peter. He will do the same for you today. That you will see him as the Messiah, the one who came to save you from your sin, the Son of God, God himself, that is reaching out to you. He came to you because he loves you. Will you give your heart to him today? And for those of us who have received him, he has given us the authority to go into every place that he has planted us and to preach the gospel. You can count on his presence. You can count on his power. Let's do everything we can to tell the world about this Jesus that we have received, the one who is the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.